It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 584. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and staying subscribed to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail at the number 240-949-2450. And that's Mike Tech Show, all one word on Skype. I've been getting emails that's not working. I don't know why. I got to go into Skype, figure out why my voicemail isn't working. I've paid their fees, so I don't understand what's going on there. But right now, if you need to leave me a voicemail, there's two other ways. Record and send me an MP3. Or use the Tech Vets number because I'll get an email, and that's 501-20-T-VETS. So 501-20-T-V-E-T-S. That's my Google Voice number for Tech Vets. And you can leave a Mike Tech Show. Just say, hey, this is for the Mike Tech Show. Leave the voicemail. I'll get it into the show. So there's always ways. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Mike Tech Show. Facebook, facebook.com/Mike Tech Show. And we have the wiki at mtswiki.com. There you'll find links to all the past shows, links to the audio, the old show notes. Keep in mind, some of the links may be broke because that website's not available. I do not go back to old shows and maintain links. It's just way too much work. Jam-packed show tonight. The topic, Windows 10. We're going to talk about the best way to install, problems I've ran into, and solutions. I have performed, my son and I, 40 Windows 10 upgrades in the past 2 weeks. That's all we've been doing and working on. I got lots to share. I want to talk about the developer preview program, why you would want to get involved with that maybe. And that's how you get Bash. And we're going to talk about the Linux shell Bash. I also am going to talk about BitLocker and share some great tips on dealing with encryption and dealing with systems that don't support TPM. What's TPM? We'll talk about that in a minute. Before we get started, a couple things. Instant House Call, thank you so much for being a sponsor of the Mike Tech Show podcast. It's the best remote support tool that you could use for supporting your customers remotely by either having them go to your landing page and download the client or setting unattended mode so you can go in. I could not exist. My business would not be able to function without Instant House Call for being able to remote in. You can try it free for 15 days by using the link on my website or going to instanthousecall.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow when you download the trial version. I want to remind everybody, there are still seats available for the Toronto Unconvention 2016. You can hear from experts in your field learning what you could do better. What could we do over or do differently? How about how to grow your business? You're going to learn great things from Marv, the man in the van, and myself. We're hosting that one session. There's labs, workshops. You're going to get a lot out of it. That's July 22nd, 23rd, 24th in Toronto. I have all the links on my website every week in the show notes. The links are there. Tickets are $200. If you can find a way to get there, do it. You won't regret it. It's money well spent. So with all the things I've talked about for Windows 10, I have performed so many upgrades with my son, Mike Jr. We've got it down to a science, and I'm going to describe our process for upgrading a system to Windows 10. Now, first, if we can, and if the client wants it, we would do the clone the drive to an SSD, either a 240 gig or a 500 gig, depending on how much data they're currently using. Most of them, 99% of my clients can go to a 240 gig SSD. We clone the drive first. If you're not cloning, then you would do the next step. All Windows 7 updates must be done. I will repeat, all Windows 7 updates must be applied. If you ran a program to block Windows 10, don't forget to turn all that back on. If it's GWX control panel, make sure you run that again and make sure every option is yes. Make sure Windows updates are set to automatic. Start checking. Start doing the Windows updates. If Windows updates do not work, you got a different issue. PodNuts, Jeff Hallish, did a great show a few weeks ago describing the three patches you need to apply to get Windows 7 updates to work. That's my Bible. I have them on a USB stick. I will run them. And if sometimes some of them are applied, sometimes they're not. But that helps you get the Windows 7 updates down. Once they're down, and this is something you must do, you can't do a restart and assume that all the updates are down, because a lot of updates are applied when you shut the system down. So you have to repeatedly shut the system down until there are no more updates. When that happens, now I want you to go download, either you did it previously or you do it now, you download the Microsoft Windows 10 Media Creation Tool. That will be the first link in the show notes. I've put that link out there many times. You can Google it. Make sure you're going to Microsoft's site when you download it. I make two USB sticks. Actually, I make several of each one. Using that media creation tool, I create a Windows 10 Pro USB and a Windows 10 Home USB. 64-bit only. I don't touch 32-bit. Won't do it. Once you have that created, pop the USB stick in, and I want you to create a directory called Win10 right off the C drive, and you copy the entire contents of the USB onto that system in the Win10 directory. Now run setup after you're done copying from that directory. That is my install process. And unless there's a hardware problem, unless there's something out of my control, and this has only happened once in the last 2 weeks, and I'm going to actually review this, you will have a successful install. I don't care what size bandwidth you have. You start to crush the bandwidth when you're doing multiple systems. Trust me, I know. We were doing 10 at a time. And unless you have the bulk of the install local on the drive, you're going to kill your bandwidth. Just go through the process. Follow the steps that I just mentioned. You will have a successful Windows 10 upgrade. And then, of course, when Windows 10 is done and it presents itself, click Customize. After the first Next icon, you're going to be presented with three different screens with options, with little radio buttons that you can toggle on and off. Toggle every single option off. Toggle it off. Next, I make sure that when it asks, do you want for your default apps for photos, music, uncheck them. Then I go next. Well, you have to set them anyway. Unchecking them, guess what? It doesn't do anything. Microsoft still puts their own defaults there. After you successfully boot and you're at the Windows 10 screen, go to Settings, Updates, and check for updates and apply every update. And then if it says to restart, you restart it, and guess what you do again? You go check for more updates. Updates, updates, updates. Keep updating everything. That's the best advice I can give you. If you follow that structure, you will be successful. Now let's get into specific problems. I kept running into the error 0xc1900101 0x300018. This happens when it's at the third stage. Well, actually, the middle stage where it's doing drivers. The bar gets to about 30%, and it's after that first reboot when you have the circle and you're doing, and the Windows 10 is installing. It's a nightmare. I have a system that I followed everything to the letter. It keeps hanging, and I've uninstalled everything that's not necessary. I've deleted programs that's not necessary. It is completely malware and virus free. I cleaned it. I'm still getting this error. I remotely did the following. There's a link that I have for the system update readiness tool for Windows 7 that needed to be applied, and it applied some fixes. Run that. I have high hopes of going back and installing it, but we're not on site, and I didn't want to try that across Instant House Call because the error that comes up every time it fails, you have to click OK, and then you have to click OK again when it says, hey, we're going to go back to your previous operating system. Knock wood, it has been going back every time I've tried something, but I don't want to risk that remotely. So what I'm going to do, we're going to be back there next week. I'm going to try to do the Windows 10 upgrade because I applied a lot of things remotely, and I'll follow up with you. I was going to talk about something that I don't think it's as important anymore. In order to help with the Windows 10 install, I read a lot of things where that was delaying, but I know the delay is because all Windows 7 updates weren't done. I've proven it. I absolutely have confirmed that. You could disable Wi-Fi, disable the firewall, uninstall and disable Microsoft Security Essentials, and disable Malwarebytes. Well, guess what? The last 20 systems that I did, we didn't disable any of them, and the Windows 10 upgrade went flawlessly. So I just wanted to keep that in mind. If you're not installing, I bet you there are some updates and you didn't do a shutdown, or you ran GWX control panel and maybe you didn't turn everything on. A troubleshooting technique. I am going to have a link that describes turning on the hidden files and looking at the $ Windows tilde BT directory, then sources. Then there's a Panther directory. In there, there are log files. So I'm at the point now where I've identified those log files. There's also a program that you can run called msinfo32.exe. It's a tool in Windows 7 that can save all the settings and info. You can take those log files and that info file and open a ticket and send it to Microsoft. I'm actually going to do that next week if I'm at the same point. And then let's see if Microsoft can figure this out from the log files and from that info. This seems to be a common problem when there's a driver issue. And I already went through, this is a Dell Latitude laptop, and I went to Dell's site and I did an automatic check and getting all the drivers updated, still no joy. I'm hoping that the readiness tool fixed what I'm going to run into. But again, I wanted to share some of those things that where you can look for log files, and I got a great link that describes how to do that. This weekend, I have a massive amount of more upgrades to do. One of my clients needs BitLocker. Matter of fact, a couple of them do. So I want to share some things about BitLocker encryption. When you install Windows 10 Pro or upgrade to Windows 10 Pro, if you go to Control Panel, there's an option for BitLocker encryption. It's very simple to click on it and it will encrypt your drive. You have to save a file, so in case you have to decrypt your system or you run into a problem, so have a USB stick ready. And what I do, if I'm doing a lot of systems, I have one USB stick that I kind of give the keeper of that in the company, and I create a directory for the computer name for every computer I'm working on. And when you're prompted, you can save that key on the USB stick. You can also save it locally, and it will go into your documents. And you have an option to print out the key because it's just a text file. I like storing them on a USB stick and then back that USB stick up. I'll keep a copy on site for me, my company, and then give them a copy. But what happens when it says this system does not support TPM? Trusted Platform Module. This is a security option that if your computer supports it, you must turn this on in the BIOS. If you get that message, go back and reboot and go into the BIOS, go to security, and then see if there's a Trusted Platform Module or TPM option. If there is, turn it on, click apply, then wait a second because you're going to get another screen. You still got to click activate. Once you activate, now you can go apply, exit the BIOS, reboot, go in, go back to BitLocker. You can set up to encrypt the system. I'm going to give you the tip on what to do if your system doesn't support that, because I've ran into this. Well, once you go forward, it'll ask you to restart the computer. Restart the computer after you answer the questions, and then the encryption will begin. Don't do anything on the computer, and you can click the little keys icon in the lower right-hand section of the toolbar. You can click that, and it will give you the percentage. And it's pretty fast for the encryption. When your system is TPM compliant, encryption is tied to the user ID of the system. So if I take out that drive out of the computer, I could take it anywhere. I'm not going to be able to read it. But in the system tied to that computer, whatever user accounts you have, that's the password for that user account is what unlocks the encryption. Make sure you're using a good password that's not a dictionary word. Make sure uppercase, lowercase, symbol, and a number. Please do that for your password. Now, what if TPM is not supported? This is where I have a great link that describes the following. You go in and edit the local group policy of the computer. You go to the administrative template, Windows option, and there's an option, it's very simple, to turn on for BitLocker the ability to prompt for a password when the system restarts or the system starts up. You have to turn that policy on. Now you can encrypt your system the same way. But on reboot, before you're even prompted for the Windows login, you get a prompt that reads BitLocker password, and you got to know that password. That is important to get encryption. Why do people have encryption? Because there's users that have laptops, and they might lose a laptop, and there could be company information, client information on that laptop. Just from a compliance standpoint, if you are involved in FINRA or HIPAA, the financial industry, or medical, you can't have laptops without encryption. You have to. Now I got other professions that are so security minded, which they should be, like CPAs, like people that do audits, anybody that's going outside their building with a portable computer, that computer, something could happen to. You should encrypt the drive. And the easiest way right now is with Windows 10 Pro, because BitLocker's included and it's built into the operating system. That's my BitLocker tips. I have great links that you can come back to that will help you out. I've been reading about the bash shell that's available for Windows 10. Well, it's not available unless you join the developer preview program. So the Windows 10 preview, where you're now getting the beta versions and options that you click, you have to be part of that. It's easy to join, but then after you join, you got to do a bunch of things to your Windows 10. And that's what I had to do on my test system in order to participate. to finally get the option for the Bash shell. This option, Windows 10 Bash shell, so it's a Linux shell completely contained within Windows 10. By just opening a command prompt and typing Bash, you can get it. But you got to do a lot of work in order to get that today. It's going to be part of Windows 10's anniversary update. But I couldn't wait. I wanted to play with that now and see everything that's happening on what they call the insider preview build of Windows 10. You need to sign up online. Once you're part of that, you must go to Settings, Update and Security, and pick Developer Mode. So you have Windows Store Apps, Sideload Apps, Developer Mode. After you pick Developer Mode, you got to wait and get the actual Windows 10 Insider Preview build has to come as an update. And it doesn't come right away. It took 2 days before my update was available. When I finally seen it in the updates, I applied it. Then, after the update, now you can go turn the feature on. And it's in Programs and Features. And you got to, on the left-hand side, click Turn Windows Features On and Off. You now get an option to check the box Windows Subsystem for Linux Beta. Now, when you check that, you can click OK, and you'll go through another install. Now, let me tell you, on the Insider Preview program, there have been three major updates that took a significant amount of time to apply. When I restarted my computer, I was a half hour before I was able to use it because the update took so long. I have an SSD drive, fast, 8 gig of RAM, and I'm on a 300 meg up and down connection with BIOS, and it still applying and doing the work took over a half hour and multiple days in a row. So when you pick this mode, be prepared to be a guinea pig, and they're going to throw at you updates that you're going to have to apply, and that's part of being part of this insider preview program. I'm willing to do that because I want to be first in seeing whatever they're going to be doing to my clients on this anniversary update. I want to see it and deal with it and know it. Now, are my clients going to be installing the Bash shell? No. But the menus change a little bit. They've changed the start menu again. Microsoft's still messing and tweaking, and I want to see this before I hear the screams and the phone calls coming. It's good to get a jump on this. And that's why I wanted to be part of the preview program. The link I'm going to have in the show notes goes through how you make that happen. So what do you do with Linux? Couple things. And I'm going to have some links here. One, how to install and use the Linux Bash shell on Windows 10. Then, how about an A to Z index of Bash commands for Linux? There's different commands that you can use at the command line to run within the Linux shell. One of the things I remembered from Linux, and you can tell I'm a holdover from the DOS days. Anybody remember Norton Commander? That was the ultimate file menu program for copying and finding files and moving files and deleting files. It was a great text-based menu that just was awesome. Someone years ago took the Norton Commander and called it Midnight Commander, and that's MC. I will have a link on how you can use the Get App option on that command line and download the MC program. And then when that's done, typing MC brings up that command line menu interface that's just awesome. And I felt very comfortable in that, navigating the shell environment within Windows 10. So there's lots of little programs. When do you see some of the networking tools and analyzing tools that now that you have Linux as part of Windows 10, you can actually run these programs, and a lot of them are not available in Windows. They're only available in the Linux environment. So here's what I want to see, and I bet you Microsoft put something in here to stop it. Anybody that's playing with the Bash shell, have you gotten Start X to work and gotten the X environment to work? If you within Windows, I would be shocked if you did. I keep getting an error, and I've installed all of the appropriate modules, and I can't get the X environment, the graphical environment for Linux. That would be so cool to have that running within Windows 10. I can't get that to launch without an error. If anybody's made that work, I would love to see the instructions on how to do that. But something says Microsoft's blocking that somehow. Last Windows 10 link for the night, but I still got some other things I want to talk about. This is the Windows 10 tutorial and how-to guide, Become a Pro User. There are nuggets that I found in there that I never knew. A lot of things I did know. You can never have enough information to become an expert at a topic. I wanted to fill tonight with enough links and enough information to arm you so you can go out there and continue to do these upgrades now before the free version goes away. And then everybody has to pay for it. That's why I got clients rushing into this. We didn't really rush into it. Prior to these massive upgrades I'm going through, I had them do one system and test it. Test their apps, test drivers. So there's a lot of behind the scenes work that has went in to finally now it's install day. It's upgrade weekend. And I'm trying to get as much done before the unconvention weekend because I'm not going to be available. I'm trying to get a lot of my retainer clients and bigger clients upgraded, the ones that can. I still have a large group of users that cannot upgrade because their apps are not compatible and may never be compatible with Windows 10. Do the prep work and make sure that it's okay, that you vetted all of the programs that they're using to make sure that they're compatible with Windows 10. This is from Alan. Windows 10 file history trick. Hi, Mike. Been listening to your show for over a year now, religiously, including Tech Vets. And previously to that, Podnuts, before Steve had sold it and changed his career. In any case, great show, and please keep it up. We are so often on the same page when it comes to technical solutions. In any case, I've come across many of my clients whom have been upgraded to, voluntarily and involuntarily, Windows 10, and realized what an issue it is that file history does not work as volume shadow copy used to in Windows 7. Given all the ransomware that's been going around lately and growing, it's obviously of the utmost importance to have every type of backup to prevent and recover from such a potential disaster. While I do push backups, such as CrashPlan for my clients, as well as having Synology NAS with software using UNC Path to back up their data so that the ransomware can't reach it, and it also has a username and password, I found myself constantly annoyed that in cases where clients don't have working backups when we want to restore files, it's almost never enabled since it's required to have a second drive to use file history. After researching hacks, I came across an article where it showed how you can create a folder and share it over a network, then successfully add it as a drive for file history. I thought this was a clever trick, and I thought I'd share it with you and all your listeners. The link is here. I have the link. It will be in the show notes. He continues, hope it helps and other techs along the way. Again, thanks very much for your show. Regards, Alan. And Alan's in Montreal. Boy, I hope you're coming to the unconvention, being so close to Toronto, and hope to meet you there. Thank you so much. Great tip. This is Kevin, the computer doctor. Hi, Mike. Real quick, wanted to let you know that I don't think your Skype voicemail box is working. I called trying to leave a voicemail message a couple days ago, and it just rang and rang, so you may want to take a look at that. It's on the top of my list for this weekend. I'm dictating this from my phone while I'm driving, so hopefully it will all come through okay. I wanted to let you know about my experience with the new Windows 7 roll-up and the update updater that you let us all know about several weeks back. I have not had a single computer, and I've tried it on probably about a dozen Windows 7 machines, both fresh Windows Service Pack 1 installs and slightly updated systems. Not a single one will work with either the 32 or the 64-bit. Well, I found the same problem. They all say this update is not applicable or something like that. When it comes to the update updater that you told us about, I want to thank you first of all for that. It has helped out a ton. However, at first, I had a lot of trouble getting it to work. Most of the time, when I was running it right after a fresh Windows 7 SP1 install, and it would do the exact same thing, say searching for updates. What I found was to get it to work, activate Windows, turn off Wi-Fi and all networking services, or just simply make sure you're disconnected from the internet, then reboot, come back in a while, still disconnected, and run the Windows update that you told us about. Since you're offline, it can't really check for updates and quickly skips through that stage and goes on to install it. Then you can reboot, come back, jump online, open up Windows Update, and business as usual, and it works great. Thank you. It's helped a lot. Great tip, because I've run into that also. I'm going to apply that. I also wanted to talk to you more about Synology's latest DiskStation operating system upgrade 6. We've had a lot of clients that have had trouble with the new update and using the Cloud Sync service. In several cases, we've had Windows hard drives being beaten up over 700 gigs of temp files within about 48 hours because of the cloud service on the client computer. And we had several other pretty bad problems that in some cases we found workarounds, in some cases we haven't. Hopefully, this soon will get this taken care of. I noticed since this email, Kevin, I noticed there's been a couple updates to 6, but you're right. Ever since 6 came out, I have not been as happy as I was with DiskStation 5 for the operating system. I also wanted to let you know about the Synology Quick Connect service. I know you have used their DDNS update to allow people to log into their web server web stations, but if you use the Quick Connect service, you don't even have to worry about using the DDNS or setting up port forwarding or anything along those lines. It works really well and makes things a lot easier for both you and for the inexperienced clients to just punch it in Quick Connect ID into their apps to connect to the Synology. I highly encourage you to take a look at this next time you're setting up. I have, and I do use that. Thank you. Finally, I also wanted to let you know about the Lenovo and/or Intel PC on a stick. I know you solved your small form factor computer problem for the dentist office, but these PCs on a stick are kind of like a Chromecast on Amazon Fire Stick, only it's a full-fledged Windows PC, albeit in a very lightweight form factor and not a whole lot of horsepower, and 32-bit. We've got a couple clients running them connected to their TVs in a conference room for PowerPoint presentations. Accessing network files and things like that, it worked quite well, and they're very inexpensive and a very simple way to solve a niche need. Kevin, great idea. I love hearing about those things. Having them in the back of my head as a recommendation to solve a problem. Give you an example. Years ago, I solved my iMac problem when I was recording shows. My iMac would constantly go to sleep. And I've turned every option to say, don't go to sleep. Don't the hard drive. Don't ever rest. And the Mac operating system will always go to sleep. There's a program called Caffeine that I talked about a long time ago. So I'm in a client's office yesterday, and they have an iMac and a big screen in the conference room. Matter of fact, it's a Mac, not an iMac, it's a Mac Mini. And he describes, the owner says, I am so tired. I've tried everything. The Mac still goes to sleep. I said, let's take a look. There's an app called Caffeine that when you install it, there's a little coffee bean at the top, and when it's filled, the screen will never sleep. It's how I solve my problem while I'm doing a show. All the drop-ins you hear and music and the intro and the outro is all done from an iMac that if I'm talking for a long time, it may go to sleep by the time I try to click something. I always invoke Caffeine when I'm doing a show. It's just one of those things that I haven't had to recommend to anybody. The comment from my client, Mike, that's why you're my IT guy. I can mention a problem like that and boom, you have a solution. And that's what you want to be for your clients. This is in response to last week, 2 weeks ago, a lot of my rants. Getting paid faster. Mike, I sent an email about Repair Shopper a little while back. Not sure if you have decided to check it out. I have, and I am going to do it formally and use it. But I heard on the last episode that you had a hard time getting paid. We use Repair Shopper, and we have set up an invoice reminder. So it automatically emails and reminds the customers to pay at 20, 30, 45, 60, 75, 90, 120 days. And you can customize the email message for each. At the 20-day reminder, we let the customer know that there will be a 5% late fee added to the invoice if it hasn't been paid by 30 days. Then, if there isn't a payment, Repair Shopper will automatically add the late fee and then email the invoice with the late fee on it at 30 days. Ooh, I like this. We have also set up our late fees to automatically add every 30 days in case it hasn't been paid by the next 30-day time period. Also, each email with an invoice that goes out has a pay by credit card link in it. And we get paid so much faster with this. It really helps cash flow. And if a customer pays with the link, it automatically marks it paid in Repair Shopper. Here is my rant. Quit doing it manually. All of the automation is in Repair Shopper, saves me so much time per month, and it gets us paid faster. And all of this syncs to QuickBooks automatically to make my accountant happy. Yes, it would make my bookkeeper and accountant happy. I'm doing it and pulling the trigger, and I've already been testing with Repair Shoppers. Thank you so much, Jason, for your great recommendations, and especially the Repair Shopper, and I am implementing. If you purchase anything from Amazon, if you know anybody that uses Amazon, I live on Amazon, I buy from it all the time, please remember to use my link, amazon.micnation.net. Your price stays the same, but a small commission comes back to support the show. It's a great way to show your support. It makes a big difference. The link is amazon.micnation.net. I want to thank Instant House Call. Go to instanthousecall.com. Click on the link to download the preview. Enter Mike Tech Show for the promo code. Site analysis. If you want your website analyzed, is it set up right? It's so inexpensive to do this. This is the tool developed by Bryce Whitty from TechNibble. Do that. Fabs Auto Backup 6 Pro. Matter of fact, they just updated it. Love it. Love it. It's on my son's USB stick, my USB stick. It is the only program to use from transferring information and settings from one system to another, one operating system to another. Tech Site Builder. And that's very simple to remember. TechSiteBuilder.com. to get your tech website built. And then, what else? How about the Computer Business Kit version 3? All the forms you need for your repair or consulting business, again, developed by Bryce over at TechNibble. I want to thank everybody for downloading and staying subscribed to the show. thank you so much for your support. I will be talking to you next week, same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.